mean, we are now. I just hit the button. Clickety, cool. Clickety, clackety, clickety, clackety, clue. My levels look good. What about you?
JBC, JBC, JBC. My bitch love do cocaine. JBC in your fucking brain.
It sound great. Here we are. We're here to talk about music, about metal. You can't kill the metal. The metal will live on. Punk rock tried to kill the metal, but they failed as they were smite to the ground. New Wave tried to kill the metal, but they failed as they were stricken down to the ground. Grunge tried to kill the metal. They failed as they were thrown to the ground. No one can destroy the metal. No one can destroy JBC. Except for Joe and I. We could probably destroy it. That did not go as well as I hoped. I was going to read... I'm reading from Tenacious D's The Metal, which, of course, Jack Black performs way better than I ever could or would or should.
Well, that's good. So all these things tried to destroy the metal, but they couldn't do it.
Yeah. And they can't destroy then, JBC. Yeah. But we can. You and me. Because we rock!
If we try really hard. And then I just decided to go...
Exactly.
So did I just say metal or meta?
Yeah, I don't know. That's what
It sounded like heavy meta.
Heavy meta. That's what we could name our show. Except, will the show be meta? I don't know. I thought we were going to talk about music, and I'm probably not going to go too meta on it.
I think we're already talking about music, so that's good.
Yeah. We do talk about music a lot anyway. I don't think we've talked about it as much as we used to, but this whole show is going to be just music, right?
It's good to just hone in on that subject and see what we have to say.
I want
to
hone in. I'm honey. Do you know what that means?
me so honey.
Me so honey. Me examine you long time. I don't know. So what is there anything you had in mind in particular? I mean, I can bring up subjects. You know what? Well, I am going to start. I'm going to get this out of the way because I wanted to do it last week. I wanted to do it last week and I get to it. So I'm going to do it now. All right. I got a new microphone, right? And ostensibly, you shouldn't be hearing that anymore. Me breathing into the microphone, right?
I bet if you tried really hard, you could make it happen.
Could you just now hear what I just did? I thought I did breathe into this.
No.
Maybe you heard that. Okay.
That's a little closer.
So I was listening to myself before I got the new microphone, and I realized that what I do when I talk is I talk and then exhale. It's like I've got all this breath for talking, and then I stop and I go, and you know what else? That's why I, you know. So.
Okay.
Now I got the Yeti, and that doesn't happen as much or at all anymore. However, I was listening to a song the other day, and the singer, he does that. He does that thing where he gets done saying something, and he breathes into the microphone. I'm like, well, if he can do it, why can't I do it? So I'm going to play that for you right now. I got it queued up. Okay. Let me turn it up a little bit. Okay, here it comes. Did you hear that?
Yeah, I did.
That's Five Finger Death Punch doing a cover of House of the Rising Sun. And I was listening to that going, okay, you know what? He's better looking than I am. He's more talented than I am. He's definitely richer than I am. But that's no excuse. So I feel like I'm even a little bit exonerated here. I'm not going to get my old microphone back. I'm going to stick with the Yeti because it's beautiful. This thick, firm, cylindrical object in my face as I'm talking is really gorgeous. But
and your voice has been rich and creamy.
Exactly.
Hey, by the way, I'm echoing a little bit. I don't know if there's anything you can do about it. Maybe not.
I can't hear any echo, so.
Okay.
I'm going to assume that Audacity can't hear it. Have you ever, when you listen back to the show, Joe, have you ever heard yourself echo when you say you hear an echo?
No, but the reason why it's a problem is because it sounds like I'm screaming in my own face, and then I start saying things that are stupid. Now, I say stupid things anyway, but it makes it way easier for me to start rambling in circles and be an idiot if it seems like I'm just echoing in my own face. But now I can't hear it anymore, so everything's fine. Now, echo can be a musical stylistic choice for a vocalist. you know, if I understood what the delay was in the echo and I decided to start singing a song, that would work a little bit better for me. It would, maybe I could work some rhythm into it. And that's a, it's a stylistic choice. Well, maybe it's an engineering choice. It's both. But then breathing is both as well. So if it's part of your style to breathe heavily into the microphone, and for many singers it is, and let's face it, I think some of the harder rock metal guys will do that maybe a little bit more. Did you hear that, Brett?
Yeah, I did.
Anyway, that was a stylistic choice. Okay. I'm just saying, I think that when I've heard you breathe into the microphone, I considered that it was a stylistic choice because I thought you were emoting yourself. Now, most of the time when I hear you breathe, yes, you breathe out when you're done saying something, but then I'll be saying something and you're like anticipating saying that, saying something back to me because I'm saying something so stupid that you're breathing really hard. And it's almost – when I'm listening back to it, I'm like, oh, that's – it's almost a stylistic choice. He's communicating something there. He's expressing himself, and that is, I can't fucking wait to retort to this fucking idiot. Okay. Anyway,
so it's not just the at the end of a sentence exhale. It was also the anticipatory breathing. Okay, so I'm not exonerated. I'm still back on. Hey, if you're listening to this, is if this is your first episode of JBC and you want to go back and hear what Joe and I are talking about, you need to go back about, let's see, episodes 1 through, what was it, 70? Something like that?
It's not that hardcore. You might have to get lucky. I think it happened. There was a few episodes there where it happened every 2 or 3, which I guess is a lot, but yeah. It didn't happen all the time. It's okay. Not like something – it's hard to – I couldn't give you an episode where I could – guarantee you that you would hear the breathing. Anyway, we had fun making fun of you just a little bit, and if we can have fun on this podcast, then that's fine. But that's once you got the Yeti, I was like, oh my god, this motherfucker's voice is sexy. I kind of want him to go back to the other way so so people can focus on my rich vocal stylings.
And they are that's rich bullshit. And they're anyway, vocal. And you are a musician, so your rich vocal stylings have actually been captured on wax.
On wax. Or on, you know, digital media, at least.
You got your band's never made any LP, any records, any vinyl?
Actually, no, none of the stuff that we did was on vinyl, but we did print CDs.
And okay.
Does this even happen anymore? Can you tell me, do bands have albums?
Well, I mean,
where it's like 10 to 12 songs and they have like liner notes that are printed on paper, made from wood, which is, you know, from trees. It's physical stuff.
And I hear what you're saying.
Ink is made from stuff. Yeah.
I think the only people who do are when you go to like some indie show, like if you go, you know, you go down to, you know, Barry's Clubhouse, whatever the name of your local indie stage, and you're going to go see, you know, the Walking Funk Sticks, and then at the end they say, hey, everybody, we're going to be in the back selling CDs, get ready for Fortnite Surprise or whatever. I don't know, I'm making up band names here, but I think they do CDs. But
I kind of thought, you know, still there are live bands, they got to hand out CDs, right? I haven't been to a show where that happened in a long time, but I kind of hoped against hope. But even those CDs aren't like full albums. Are they?
Yeah. Well, the ones I've gotten. Okay. I mean, I know what you're talking about. Sometimes it'll be like 4 songs. But no, I've...
Okay. Well, and that would be back in the day, that's what we used to call a demo. Mm-hmm. And those used to be on cassette tapes, but then they were CDs after a while. But it's 4 songs, and this is what our band sounds like. Or then it just kind of, it transformed into, no, we just made a whole album and we're touring and here's our album.
Yeah.
And whether or not they were signed or not, they just made an album.
Well, it is no longer the case that when you listen to music at home by yourself, whether, and I mean not on the radio, but you got, you know, you're going to say, I'm going to sit down and listen to something. It used to be that you would like put a record on or a tape or whatever, and you kind of just, you basically listen to that band. And you listen to the songs in the order that was dictated by the producer or whatever, right? That's how you self-experience music. And yeah, nowadays, it's completely – the paradigm has completely shifted. I'm speaking about something we all know about. Like, I think now that listening to a whole album in order is rare. I don't do it very often. Every once in a while, like I'll.
No, neither do I. Really, I'm trying to think of the last album. Actually, I think the last. It seems very recent to me. Maybe a lot of in this conversation we'll be dating ourselves, and sometimes dating can lead to sex with ourselves. Anyway, I might be dating myself in hopes for sex later.
Yeah.
But
got to get yourself drunk first. You are
not,
sloppy.
Not all the time. I have an intimate relationship with myself.
You like are easy. Yeah.
I understand myself. Yeah. I don't need to get drunk in order to feel close.
No. Then why is your hand right now resting in a bucket of vodka?
That's because of the infection. Okay. But I'll talk about that later.
Yeah, sure.
What I'd like to talk about is I'm dating myself when I say that it used to be demo tapes.
Yeah.
Tapes. Now, maybe you can tell me this. The cassette tape doesn't seem like something like vinyl where it became this – vinyl still exists, and vinyl was before tapes, but now it's like there's something attractive about it, maybe aesthetically or something. It's vinyl people are still attracted to. Cassette tapes – I don't think people make new cassette tapes. They certainly don't make demo tapes of their bands. Am I right about that?
I think so. I think you're right. I know that both vinyl and tape capture like the actual sound when they're being recorded on, whereas CDs don't capture the actual sound. They have a digital waveform, so if you were to like zoom in real close visually, you would see little squares going up and down. Whereas the tape,
you're talking about like analog recording as opposed to digital.
Yeah. And so I think pressing vinyl is, I'm guessing, more expensive than recording on tape. So tapes don't exist. I think it's because it's only the I'm not gonna say hipsters, but it's only the purists who are like, well, I want to own that on vinyl. I want to have that on wax. They're like, well, if I'm going to go through all this effort, I'm going to get something that's just way more esoteric and iconic because, who wants a shitty little tape? I mean, most of them end up in in your car underneath the seat, and they gather dust and they get like an old McDonald's french fry stuck in the hole there. And, nobody wants that.
Yeah, no. But what I could say, I'm guessing that the top-notch recordings, even if it's digital, you can then make vinyl out of that digital recording. And I think isn't there something about recording to audio tape where then it can be pressed onto vinyl? Am I on the right track here?
As a musician, I'm
kind of exposing myself beyond just actually exposing myself right now here in my garage.
Yeah.
I'm exposing myself as someone who doesn't understand really the history of recording music. Most of the, I've never recorded onto tape. Like, I've never been – well, yeah, I have. I've hit a boombox when I was 13. I wrote a song, and I hit record on a cassette tape. Now, I'm recording onto audio tape.
Yeah.
Great. But if at that time, let's say – now I'm really dating myself because maybe I'm in love. It's it's that at that time when I was recording little demos – with my bands when I was a teenager.
You said when I was in a teenager. You said that.
Well, I was in a couple of teenagers when I was a teenager.
You were.
I'm proud to say it.
Yeah.
But back to music. What I'm saying is, if we got a recording contract in, 1993, there it is, we'd go into a studio. That wouldn't have been a digital recording. Like, they would have rolled tape.
Yeah.
Fucking 1993, they would have rolled tape.
Yes.
And it would have been expensive tape. It wouldn't have been a boombox with a, record button on a cassette tape.
That's right.
And it would have been a much higher quality thing. Now, they could then transfer that to vinyl.
Yep.
Eventually, they could transfer it. Many, 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 many of those recordings have been transferred now into digital, where you can listen to it on the internet.
Yeah,
my history of music is lacking.
Okay, so just to put this one to bed, to keep the sex analogy going, I think that nobody is pressing vinyl off of sounds recorded digitally. I don't think that would just be.
They're rolling tape.
Yeah, I think it would be completely pointless to take a digital waveform and put it on vinyl, because the vinyl as
because
a,
then
as,
you're missing all of the environmental sounds that. Right? Isn't that the whole thing about analog?
It's supposedly because you have the pure waveform and it hasn't been digitized. It's a more authentic sound. And I think that 99.9% of the people out there could not tell the difference between the digital one and the analog one. But if you're going to go, if you have a digital signal and you put it on vinyl, all you've done is take the exact same sound and made it worse because. The vinyl playback is not purely consistent playback as, you know, a computer is. A computer is the same every single time, whereas the vinyl, the record can get warped, the needle can get, you know, dulled, little microphone, vibro microphone thing or whatever it's called that picks up the sound that's scratching on the record, that can get off, you get dust going on in there. I mean, the reason why digital is so much...
We'll get off this subject in a moment.
I like how you said this subject in a sexy way, because that was the sex. We'll get
subject.
Off this subject. Yeah, but it was like a reverse.
Anyway,
yeah.
But what you're saying is only vinyl pressed from a recording on analog tape. Do you hear that shit?
I do. I hear it. Somebody is partying hard in.
No, that's very old school. That there's sounds from the environment coming in. Did you hear that?
Yeah, I got you. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but it's all digital, so. Bullshit. This is not analog, and we're not even going to pretend that it is. But aren't you saying that you roll tape, and that's how real vinyl is set down? Like, even let's say people that want to make vinyl now, are they rolling tape?
Yeah.
Or are they transferring digital recordings to vinyl?
So I'm not going to assume that it never happens that someone doesn't put digital on vinyl, but if anybody bought one of those and it wasn't fully disclosed that, you know, okay, this is just a digital recording that we put on vinyl, if it wasn't disclosed, then that person I would assume would feel seriously ripped off, because now the vinyl is just a collectible. I mean, not even collectible, I don't know, it's just, there's probably a word for it, but I'm really tired. It's just stupid. I mean, it's like someone said, hey,
that's the word.
It's a tchotchke, or tchotchke? I don't know. My strokes.
Now, look, if more than five people, I almost said four, but then I kind of transitioned into five, and it sounds like this, thrive. If more than five people would comment on our website or on our Facebook or Instagram or anything, they might comment with an educational piece about how we're wrong with regard to the history of music and how analog was recorded and what the real kind of, if you want vinyl, like what you know, what level of authenticity or what level of recording are you looking for? If digital is pressed on vinyl, is that just bullshit? That's kind of what you're saying.
I'm saying it's complete bullshit. That's just like, I mean, I'm trying to think of an analogy. It's you're being a poser. If vinyl is supposed to be the symbol of, you know, being really into something, and it's supposed to be like, oh, I'm an authentic audiophile. I get things on vinyl. It's like, well, that's like saying that because you got a poster that the band put out, that you are a better appreciator of their music. No, it's just a piece of paper. I mean, there's nothing about putting a digital on vinyl that makes the sound better, or it's an artifact of Homerism, I guess. I don't know. I don't know what I'm trying to say. I'm just saying it'd be pointless.
And Homerism being just the verbal history of humankind, like the auditory history of humankind. Homerism? Homer. He didn't write it down. Somebody finally wrote it down.
Oh, that's not what I meant, but okay.
God damn it. All right, well, look, once in a while I prove that I'm not sophisticated at all, but you said Homer. I didn't think The Simpsons. I thought of Homer, who wrote the Iliad, and I felt very sophisticated, and then I started talking, and it didn't work out, and that's okay, because let's talk about music that you like, and then I'm going to take a little bit of a left turn, because I don't have anything to say about music that I like this time. This is our third music episode, by the way, for anybody that's counting or anybody that gives a shit, Ian. Oh, by the way, Ian, I don't think is listening anymore. But I think we have a new listener. Unfortunately, I can't remember her name. My father called me the other day and he said, is Ian still listening? And I was like, I'm afraid not. I don't think so. And he was like, well, you can still keep talking about your listener because I met someone that's listening to you. But I'm going to fuck this up because he told me her name and I was to mention it in this episode. And I can't remember her name.
Well done. Well, if we're going to switch to a listener and that that's the person we're going to do, that's totally fine with me. I can tell you that.
Do you have a listener that we can refer to?
I was regularly having conversations with an extremely intelligent and thoughtful person who said that she listened to our show, and she jokingly said at one of our last interactions, she said, "Hey, I could be your second listener." And you know, she laughed, and I've mentioned her on the show a few times before, so ostensibly she's still listening. Now I can't say that for sure, but I've mentioned Air Force Medic, I think was the nickname I gave her.
Yeah.
So, but Air Force Medic,
can we just talk to her?
Yeah, we could. But then again, I mean, I really like the way you throw in Ian. You like just throw it to the side, like it's just this quick little sound comes out of your mouth, and it's you can't do that so much with Air Force Medic. I mean, we'd have to give her a different nickname, I guess. You know,
right? You don't want to go more than two syllables with that, so. Throw it around and have fun with it. Like Janet.
I've got it. The person your dad told you about is a woman, right? Mm-hmm. And my friend, the Air Force Medic, is also a woman. So you know what we're going to do from now on? We're going to say Sheehan.
Sheehan?
Sheehan.
Okay.
Because it's Ian. Now, because Ian is the symbol of our listener, right? Whenever we say Ian, we really mean... We say Ian, we're saying you right now, whoever the hell you are who's listening right now on your little airphones as you're riding the bus or you know, in the gym or whatever you're doing, you are Ian. You are. Steve, you are. Lisa, you are. Sean, you're Ian. And so now it's going to be Sheehan. You're not Ian anymore. You're Sheehan.
Yeah, because I don't want to say something like, look, all of our listeners will understand, Archibald.
Yeah, it's...
You know what I mean? Doesn't flow. Even if I try to get it out real quick and really low, it doesn't work. Ian's good. Sheehan is good.
Yeah.
And my father's idea was, you know what? Ian's had his time. It's been a year and a half.
Yeah.
Clearly no one is listening to this at the same time. No two people are listening at the same time. No. So we can... Just to keep this going, let's pick somebody to be our listener. Maybe that'll become a new convention where it's like, for the month of – we're just guessing. For the month of August, our listener, it seems to us, given very little evidence, is Steph.
Yeah.
Our listener, Steph. Anyway. Yeah. So, but for now, we're going with Sheehan.
Okay, we're going with Sheehan,
and she's the Air Force medic,
and she's also your dad's the person.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So we're combining them for now.
Well, it's not so much combining them; it is that we're pointing out that because every listener is Ian, but Ian is not our listener anymore. Now every listener is Sheehan, and what inspired us is these two. Well, I don't know your Sheehan, my Sheehan, remarkable human being. And so if I call you, whoever you are, I'm pointing at the microphone. You can't see it because this is audio, but I'm pointing. Whoever you are Sheehan. I'm saying you are a remarkable human being because you listen to the only podcast that I am right now talking on, JBC.
Well, I think our listener, Sheehan, would understand that this conversation is boring.
Yeah,
and I would like to move on to
music.
What you tend to bring to these episodes, which is, you got some, like, you're always in the loop. We're not young men,
no,
but you listen to new shit. You have cool shit to bring to the table.
Thank you.
And I wonder, what do you got for us this time?
Well,
and maybe even give us some samples, like, so we can hear how fucking good it is.
I can definitely bring up some samples. Lately, and I think this isn't new because I've definitely told you, and I think I've talked about on the air is I've been okay. listening to desert rock or stoner rock a lot. Mm-hmm. And
right well, now, you know, I love that. I'm into Queens of the Stone Age, which is yeah. like quintessential stoner rock. That's
yeah.
great.
Yeah.
But do you have some new stoner rock, or is this – are you just going to give us more examples of the last really good stoner rock that you exposed us to? And when I say us, that's me and Shan.
Right. Did I did I talk about Earthless? Because they're my favorite right now.
You did. Yeah, actually, okay. I think maybe you only mentioned them. Can we just hear a clip?
Yeah.
Let's hear a clip.
I'm going to try to see if I can find here's the problem, Joe, is I hear of a band I like, and then I'm like, I listen to them, but I don't look, so I don't know the names of the songs. So give me a second here, and hopefully...
You're so unconventional like that.
Well, yeah.
I can tell you, Earthless has a song called Butt Fucktress.
They do not.
Oh, wait, no, that's a different band.
Okay, here's my favorite song by them. Now, we're not going to listen to the whole thing because it's 14 minutes long. I need to turn it up.
Let's get at least 11 and a half minutes out of this.
Yeah, let's go. Can you hear it okay?
Yeah.
Now, the whole thing isn't like this. This song starts off slow, and then it gets really, really fast towards the end. So here's kind of the beginning, right? All right. And now I'm gonna hit pause, and I'm gonna just sweep it forward.
That's here. A taste of the beginning, and then we're gonna go to the middle.
I'm somewhere. Yeah, okay. Here, I'll do the true middle. Here we are, kind of in the middle. I don't know. Hear that?
Yeah.
All right, so let's go towards.
I have a lot to say about that.
Okay. Do you want to say it now or you want
just
to hear something?
Just because I really like it.
You want to say it now or you want to hear something towards the end?
No. Keep going.
Okay. All right. So, and that's kind of how it moves towards the end there. So that's one of their songs. It's off of their album From the Ages. And yeah, that's what I've been into lately.
Okay, so I love it. This is why.
Okay.
Is it derivative? Yes. In a bad way? Absolutely not. Am I going to keep asking myself questions? Yes. And is that how the rest of the show is going to go? Well, I hope not. Anyway, that shit... Let me tell you, if you're really good at a wah pedal and some fuzz,
yeah,
and you know your blues scales and you can really emote yourself, to me that's like a language. Like if somebody speaks French to you or Spanish to you, do you go, oh, you're just ripping off somebody that made up some language? No. That's bullshit. If someone speaks the blues well, especially what I will call Jimi Hendrixian blues.
Yeah, okay.
Then just admit that they speak the language well. Don't tell them that they're. When I say it's derivative, I want to wipe that term away. That's not what's happening here. It's a style of music, and if you play well in that style, then, and if you're really expressing yourself, you speak that language.
Yes,
that's what I'm saying. And that's what's happening here. With Earthless?
Earthless, say? Yeah. I was doing some reading.
And that's their top hit, Butt Fucktress. I'm just kidding. What is the name of that song? Because that's
song is called Uluru Rock, and it's off of their album From the Ages, which I think came out, I want to say, a while ago, 2013? I could be wrong. And it doesn't have any.
I'm not insulting your sensibilities when I say this type of thing, right? Like Jimi Hendrix kind of maybe innovated that, but that's not an innovation either because his language derived from another language, which was the blues, or perhaps, you know what I mean? And then people learn how to speak these languages.
Yeah, yeah. So for what it's worth, I'll just give way more detail than anybody really cares. But this is a podcast where I get to talk to my cousin. He's into this stuff. So, Sheehan, just hang in there. I was doing some reading about the band and their kind of approach. And Yes, desert rock or stoner rock is heavily influenced across the board by the so-called acid rock or psychedelic rock that came out of the 60s and 70s. And then also, you know, they're employing a lot of fuzz and a lot of reverb, which is something I like a lot. Anyway.
Yeah, and wah, by the way.
Yes, and the wah. Yeah, absolutely. And yes, the Jimi Hendrix sound or feel. Now, I don't know much about Jimi Hendrix. I mean, I've heard a lot of his songs, and I like them quite a bit. I listen to him every chance I can. He was really a virtuoso of the guitar in terms of being able to play these solos, right? And he knew what he was doing. Yeah. He could get in there. And when I listen to, say, a Gary Clark Jr., I feel it's the same kind of thing where it's like you get a song started, you get it going, and he's got this feeling, and he, like you said, he knows the language, and he goes into it. He's playing that solo, and he feels it. And if it's a good one, then he'll play it again the next time, right? Well, these Earthless guys claim that they say that they're not really jamming or playing solo so much as it's jazz. Not that it's jazz, the music genre, but it's the same approach to jazz. It's like when you go into a jazz song, the idea...
They do a different solo every time.
Well, no, it's not that it's a different solo every time. It's that when you go into it, you're not just making stuff up as you go. You kind of are. There's a lot of improvisation, but really what you're doing is you're catching this, you're catching what the song's mood is, not what your mood is, but what the song's mood is, and that's what you're trying to inform with whatever it is that you're doing. So, and it's a subtle difference, I think, but I think it's the difference between, you know, going into a song saying, I'm going to see what I can do, which is what I think a lot of these, you know, soloists do, and they're great at it, and I love them. John Petrucci is another one. He's one of the disciple of that Surfing with the Alien guy, the bald dude. What's his name? The
Satriani.
Yeah. Nope. All good stuff. But these folks, Earthless, they claim that they're influenced by a German form of music called Kraftrock or something like that. And it's not what can I do to this song, but what can this song do? What can I do for this song? Not what can I do to this song, what can I do for this song? Does that make sense? I don't know if it makes any sense.
No, it does, but I think I can expand on that a little bit.
Yeah, please.
The fact is, anybody that knows, and I'm not going to include myself in this group of people, but when you learn how to play a solo, to improv a guitar solo, different things happen. Perhaps there are little patterns that show up here and there because it's part of like your technique, and there are little tricks that you learn. But little tricks that you learn are like words that you know. And how you combine all of these little tricks that you've learned into a sentence, you're not – some things like – some guitar solos are sentences that need to be repeated. They're like monologues in a Shakespearean play. Like – you can put your own style into it, but if you're going to play, for instance, let's say you're in a cover band and you're playing a Led Zeppelin solo.
Yeah.
Well, you can put some flair here and there to and that rhymes, but
yeah,
please. Anyway, you can't, there are certain solos where if you detract too much from the solo, you're not really doing justice to the piece itself.
Right.
Jimi Hendrix solos are that way. Stevie Ray Vaughan solos are that way. Yeah. Jimmy Page's solos are that way. Many of Clapton's solos are that way, where like if you're going to do the solo, it was written as a monologue. Now, there are other people playing with you, but the other people playing with you become the set pieces, the backdrop of the play.
Yeah.
And what you need to do is give the soliloquy and do it correctly.
Yes.
Now you can put your own style into it, but the notes need to be there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Jazz is different, and just jam rock. Because that's really the same, in the same vein.
Well, jazz, no, these guys would say that they're completely rock. Different. Just, I mean, I want you to continue, but these guys are saying that, no, this is not jamming, this is jazz, and they are different, is what they're
claiming. Okay, I want you to explain to me, and then we'll move on to something else.
Okay.
But this is really interesting for me.
Yeah.
Like, see, because I think there are pieces, like, if you're like, now I'm going to give Ray Liotta's monologue from Goodfellas, and then you said something completely different that had nothing to do. Like maybe it was gangster shit, but yeah. That's it. That's the only that was the only thing that was similar. You can't say that I am now going to do like an homage to Martin Scorsese and Ray Liotta's performance of Martin Scorsese. You can't say that. And there's everything in between. You can be like, well, I will now give my own monologue. Uh-huh. But the play that we're presenting here is a stage performance of Goodfellas. But I'm going to completely improvise all of the monologues. I know the tone. I think it's good. It's gangster shit. I know the story. It's going to fit in the story, but I'm not going to give the same. I'm not going to give the same dialogue or monologue or whatever it is.
Right.
What I'm saying is, there's a spectrum there. So it's like,
yeah,
you're either improvising or you're not, or you're somewhere in between. What you're saying is, at some point, it hits a jazz aesthetic. And at what point is that? I just want to hear your take on that.
Well, I think – okay, I'm going to try to extend your analogy a little bit, see if I can answer your question. I'm going to break this down into overly simplistic and probably not very accurate terms. But if I would go on to say that jamming is – when you hear a jam band like Fish, for example, or Moe or
I think these are good, like String Cheese.
String Cheese is a jam band. Yeah, jam bands. That is – and I'm not too familiar with their music. I've heard some songs, but I'm going to go ahead and say that that's like a conversation. That's like what we're doing right now. We're making it up as we go along. We have a theme. We have an idea, and we're trying to stick to it. And we're respecting what the other person says. We're playing off of them. And one or the other of us can go off on a tangent and take it, you know, wherever he wants to go. But we try to bring it back, right? I think that's what jamming would be. And I do think the soloist, is just like you said, the monologue. That's like, I'm going to get up in front of you. And I'm going to say some stuff. And that, you know, could be rooted in a play where, like, the play is going on. That's the rest of the orchestra or what have you. And now it's time for me to give my soliloquy. And that's the solo, right? Now, this might sound cheesy, but I think jazz then is more like poetry. It's like, okay, no two poems are the same. And then some of them have structure. A lot of them don't. And a lot of times you go in there and you have no idea what's going on. You need to listen to that song or read that poem 100 times before you even start to get something. And everyone's going to feel something different. Sometimes those differences will be small. Sometimes they're going to be big. But the jazz approach is we're going to create a poem. It's going to say something. Whether you find that it says one thing or another is not the point. The point is we're going to say something. So we're not just making it up, but we are going to, as we feel it, add little bits and pieces to get this this message, this poem, to work. Now, when you write a poem, you write it down on paper and it's static and it's done. And that's where the analogy falls, because with music performance, it's always going to be impacted by, you know, the temperature and whether your mom is nagging you about picking up your socks when you get home from your gig, you know, all that good stuff, right? Because it's something that happens over a period of time. This song, Uluru Rock, like I said, it's 14 minutes, and I don't know the guitar player's name, but I'm sure that if I go and listen to, you know, 10 different performances of the song, while it's going to be mostly the same, there are going to be differences, and those differences may be why I go and listen to it 10 times in a row, right? Now, okay. I'm gonna take this a little bit further, and then you can say, you've taken it too far, shut up. I think that it's important to note that way back in the day in classical music, there was this thing called a cadenza. You're familiar with this term, the cadenza?
Yes, the cadenza.
Yeah, so I understand, like, that. You'd have a sonata, or let's say a piece for some instrument, like a concerto. Mozart's Piano Concerto, number 20 in D minor, K466, right? And so the orchestra plays, and then the piano plays, the orchestra plays, and they play together, go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And then there's a point where it's like, okay, everyone shut up, it's going to be just the piano. And this part's called a cadenza. And I think traditionally what was supposed to happen was the performer was supposed to write this part. And he's supposed to base it off of, he or she was supposed to base it off of the song itself. It was supposed to be wildly different. But this was the performer's chance to say, look at how good I am at this instrument.
I understand this piece, and I can add to it.
Yeah.
And everything that I'm about to, and let's face it, that's improvisation.
Well, they're supposed to write it in advance because they come prepared.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there's the difference.
Yeah, they come prepared.
I think that jam bands and jazz musicians, and I'm absolutely confident in my statement here. Jazz musicians will play pieces, and there will be, you can't call it a cadenza. It's a time where they're able to take the essence of the piece and give their improvisational style to it, and add their own personality to it on the fly.
Yeah.
Not pre-written.
No.
That's really interesting that the cadenza is – this is where the performer gets to kind of take his interpretation of this piece and expand upon it. And he's pre-written it and listen to what this performer can do and his understanding of the piece.
And I think that your analogy or what you're saying is right. There's a couple of things I want to point out. That particular piano concerto that I mentioned, the Mozart K-466,
yeah.
If you hear a performance today of that – 99 times out of 100, you're going to hear a cadenza that was written by Beethoven. That's what you're going to hear. No one makes up a new cadenza.
Is that
cadenza.
Still called a cadenza?
Well, yeah, because that's the...
It is, but it's Beethoven's cadenza.
But he's the one who wrote it. So when you're listening to this, and I think that's where the solo that you hear when you listen to rock and roll in general, you hear is that's what's happened. Someone realized, look, if you get a part of this song, the guitar solo, that nails it, why make it up new every single time? This is really, really good. Let's just stick with this, right? And so it's a solo in as much as you're the lead voice at that moment, but it's not really this improvised thing. And I think that's part and parcel of the evolution of music from whatever classical was to, you know, what it became in terms of big band and blues and rock and roll and our modern feel of all this stuff. Jazz, obviously, placed in there. Well, the point being that whether it's jazz or jam or solo, they each have a different paradigm that they're trying to achieve, but they're all, of course, the end result is one listen is awesome. Maybe the next one is, maybe it isn't, depending on your mood. So we're at minute 43,
I think that's interesting, though. Okay. Yeah, we could go.
And we will.
Keep talking about this. But I think that we shouldn't. I can tell you this much. Let me veer a little bit in a different direction. I think as a person, as someone who can play a guitar solo in a few different styles or whatever, and then I convinced myself that I was able to communicate kind of originally off the cuff.
Okay.
I was in a band where my job was to play solos, and I listen to solos from people that are much better than me, like Slash. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And Dave Navarro, right?
Yeah.
Now, when you see them live, I don't know if you can call it a cadenza. It's a where they know that you know their solo, and so they're going to hit certain parts of it to like activate your recognition of the solo.
Yeah.
But then they have these moments throughout the solo where they can like really let loose and do different weird shit. And that's interesting. And I don't know what you call that. It's somewhere on the spectrum, but as a guitar soloist, I really found that a lot of fun. Like I had solos where it was very specific. People knew the album. People knew what I was going to play.
Yeah.
And so I wouldn't let them down on certain kind of benchmarks of the solo. I'd still hit these notes and you know little phrases that were very recognizable, and then I would completely let myself go on other parts, and people seemed to enjoy that. Well, you know what? More importantly, I enjoyed that.
Yeah, that's the whole point, right?
But the crowd, I think, got what I was trying to do. In fact, they got to come to a show. They knew the album. They knew the solo. And I gave them just a little bit – like I would hand them something different, which is you're not just listening to my album. You're you're listening to what my interpretation, this is my expression of this song now, and it's still the same song, and you're still hearing the same soliloquy, as it were.
Yeah.
But I'm throwing in new, just like you were saying, there's different, I'm throwing in new components of the poem that fit into the poem, and there are certain landmarks that you end up at here and there throughout the process.
Sure.
But you're able to improvise through it and expand the original idea. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know if this is kind of what you're getting at, but I went and saw a performer once. It was this young woman who played piano. You've heard of her. What's her name? Vanessa Carlson or whatever. And when she was not singing, she would talk to the crowd and tell stories and stuff. But the entire time she would talk, her hands could not stop moving on that keyboard. She was playing.
That's awesome.
But none of it was – it wasn't like a song. It was just, she's just making stuff up. And it wasn't discordant. I mean, if she had stopped talking and just concentrated, I'm sure it would have been something that she could say. Oh,
was it a good companion to what she was saying?
It wasn't –
because isn't that amazing?
I don't think what she was trying to say was, I'm going to set some mood to an anecdote. It was more a matter of, my hands know how to play the piano better than I do, so I'm going to let them play while I tell you this story. And it's nothing to do with the music, but it wasn't discordant. It didn't interrupt. It wasn't off. It just, they just weren't, it was I have a 2-year-old, and we talk about 2-year-olds don't play with each other. They just parallel play. That's kind of what it was.
Right.
It was, her hands were doing one thing, and her mouth was doing another. And so
it's like a Piaget thing, by the way. Go ahead.
So when you talk about people get up and do these solos, I think sometimes it's a matter of their hands just know what to do. Like your friend at your bachelor party, that friend of yours, that awesome guitar player.
He's a very talented soloist, specifically.
Yeah, because his hand just knows what to do.
He can just talk with his hands.
Yeah.
And he'll look right at you and have a separate conversation.
Exactly.
It's two separate fucking parts of his brain. It's
right.
Crazy.
And
then you'll start to understand that actually what he's doing with his fingers is somehow accompanying his statements to you. And then I just want to walk away because, like,
right.
I'm not at that level. I get really jealous when I see shit like that.
Right,
I'm like,
right.
The hell?
Well, if I can go back 20-30 minutes to my original point, which has been lost, No, you're fine. Is that I think that when people perform jazz, there may be room for a solo of that nature, but I think that maybe I'm going to lean here, but I think that the people who perform, like this Earthless guy, I don't think there's ever a moment where they where their hands are doing more than their brain is. There's not a moment where they say, well, I'm just going to see what happens. No, they got a specific idea in mind. And yes, they're improvising because they're improvising to accomplish what they want the song to do, as opposed to just being inspired by the song to see what their hands can come up with. And that's the difference. That's the difference between being a soloist and being a jazz performer. And don't get me wrong, most people who can do one can do the other. I'm not saying one's better than the other, but
We're gonna have to fucking hash this out because what you do and what I'm doing now, I'm not that we're doing it well, but just
do we ever?
the fact is, yes, we have an idea of what we want to do when we're talking to one another.
Yeah,
but it is improvised, like it is not pre-written.
Right.
And if you let the theme take hold, and if you start to get into what the conversation of the music is, that's supposedly what jazz is, and there's a lot of improv involved in that.
Right.
But then there's a lot of technique involved in that. That is,
yeah,
there's
true.
A lot of little words that you want to put in there that are apropos to the conversation.
Well, yeah.
And that has to do with your training and your understanding of jazz, your understanding of phrasing. And that doesn't mean that you're not improvising. It means that you are freely expressing yourself in a language.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I don't think that we disagree fundamentally. I mean, we rarely do anyway. And the reason why I'm hemming and hawing is because I'm watching the time go by, and we're at minute 50 now. We haven't done
Jesus
our ads.
Christ.
I know.
I had a feeling. All right, so now we're going to take a fucking hard turn.
Yeah, we are just going to...
Are you ready?
I am so freaking ready.
Because what we've been talking about is maybe techniques and ideas kind of dancing around good music, like how to make good music.
Yeah.
I'd like to tell you that now in 2018, there's very popular music. And this makes me sound like a fucking old man.
Go for it.
Oh man, I dare anyone to defy me at this point. I'm serious. This, what I'm about to fucking show you, is terrible music. Everything we just talked about means nothing.
Okay.
Nothing. Okay.
Okay.
We're going to start with something that, okay, when we end, well, I'm just going to give you three artists.
All right.
Okay? Three artists.
Yeah.
The first artist, I think his name is Lil Pump. Lil Pump. Okay. It's okay. Maybe, hey, Jason, maybe he's a fucking brilliant artist. Maybe he's brilliant. Okay. Lil Pump.
Yeah.
So there's Lil Pump, and then we're going to move on to, I want to just give you an idea of what's about to happen. We're going to go from Lil Pump, and I thought he was the worst musician that I've ever fucking heard in my life.
Yeah.
And I'm getting angry just thinking about it. Like, I was like, well, that's the fucking worst thing I've ever heard. And then my wife was like, are you getting old and you don't understand the kids' music anymore? And I was like, yes! So then I heard Lil Pump, and then I watched this video, and I said, oh, my God. And then I kept looking into this genre. I guess we're going to call it a genre.
Okay.
There's a lot of different names for this genre, but we'll call it mumble rap. Okay.
Okay.
Mumble rap. Maybe you've heard it. If you, I hope you haven't, because this is going to be. Sure. I have really dug into this because sure. I'm so disturbed by it. It's like I'm watching a train wreck, but there's so many cars on the train and they keep derailing.
Yeah.
And they keep piling. Now hold on, don't do it yet. I know that. Oh, okay. I know you
Sorry.
Want.
Sorry.
I know you want to. But we're gonna go Lil Pump first, because I feel like actually by the end of this, Lil Pump is gonna sound like fucking Mozart. Okay?
You're riled up.
I am. I'm angry. And this is my whole thing. Okay. Lil Pump, he has a song, I believe I've got this right, called Gucci Gang.
Okay.
Let's hear Gucci Gang.
You want me to play Gucci Gang?
Yeah, in fact, at the beginning of the show, I kind of alluded to Gucci Gang. It's a song. He's a millionaire.
So you want me to cue up Gucci Gang?
Could be. Is that okay?
Yeah. Should I skip forward to the actual? Wait, is you? That's it
right now. No, it's not. Yeah.
Gucci Gang.
Gucci gang, 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 Gucci gang. Spread their racks on new chain. My bitch love do cocaine. Ooh,
what the fuck is this? I
can't buy me no wet rain. Keep listening, Jason. And Bob all
mains. Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang. Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang. Gucci gang. Spread their racks on new chain. My bitch love do cocaine. Ooh, I fuck a bitch, I forgot name. Yeah. I can't buy no bin no wet rain. Ooh. Rather go and buy ball mains. Ayy.
Oh, I am old too.
Hey, Jason.
Okay, yeah.
All right, Jason.
Yeah.
Hit stop.
All right, yeah, I'm going to
Let me tell you my favorite part of that song, and I'm being 100% facetious. Like, oh, God. Here's my favorite part of the song, and this is a quote. And I'm not doing it too long either.
Yeah.
Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang. That's what he just said.
Yeah. Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang. Yeah.
All right. So, guess what? Brilliant. We're moving on to Lil Xan.
Okay.
Are you with me on this?
Yes. Yeah. We're gonna go along today. We're going along today. I don't know if you're going in this direction or if I'm off, but do you remember that SNL sketch Friendos?
No.
Here.
Is it making fun of this? Or?
Sort of. Of course, YouTube's got to show me an ad, but it's okay because the volume's down. Oh, look, it's Wells Fargo. Yep. Okay, sure. Yeah, that's where I'll put my money.
Hey,
thank
Jason.
You. Let me skip it. Yeah, I can walk you through it.
No. That's all I'm saying. Let's go back to some of the tenets of improvisation and composition, okay?
You mean when we're listening to Lil Pump?
Music.
Oh, it's not Gucci Gang, it's Tucci Gang. No, wait.
No, no, it's Gucci Gang. That's but it doesn't matter.
It's a parody. Doesn't matter. Saturday Night Live did a parody. Okay, first I'm going to play you. I know you got.
Did they do a parody? Thank yeah. God.
Okay, listen to this.
Freedom. That makes me feel better.
Yeah, you already know. Hey, Brando, out of Bando.
Okay, so that's Friendos. You should really Google that, Joe,
yes,
and anyone
yes,
listening.
Yes, yes, I will. But oh my God, I'm fucking bursting at the seams here.
And here's just the Tucci Gang parody. I've never seen this before. Yo,
it must be Stanley Tucci.
Sam Rockwell.
Is Stanley Tucci a part of it?
I'm not yet. We both love. Oh, they're just singing about him. Underappreciated.
This is for our boy Stanley.
Let's get it.
Tucci Gang, Tucci Gang, Tucci Gang, Tucci Gang, Tucci Gang, Tucci Gang, Tucci Gang. Some of you don't know the name, but that's that guy from the Hunger Games. Transformers, The Last Night, Beauty and the Beast and Spotlight, writer and director of Big Night, Tucci Gang, Tucci Gang, Tucci Gang.
Sorry, no, that was way better. They didn't mumble.
Thank you. I'm glad that you said it first. Actually, I wish I would have said it first. That is way better. That song's way better. Now, let me tell you, I looked into the lyrics of Gucci Gang.
Can I, one more time, I'm really sorry, Joe. The guy who was singing just now, he's engaged to marry Ariana Grande. I just wanted to point that, not Lil Pump, but the guy who was doing Tucci Gang, he's engaged
good.
To Ariana Grande.
Just, now, that he must be a comedian.
Pete Davidson.
Oh, wait, I know who it is. He's cool.
Yeah,
good.
He's cool.
He deserves Ariana Grande.
Yeah.
I don't know if she deserves him, but good.
Good. Okay, so now, move on. Sorry, I interrupted you enough. Please.
Okay. Damn, are we already at the hour?
Oh, yeah, but that's fine. I mean, we haven't done our ads either, so. I'm looking up Little Zam. Is that what I'm doing next?
Little Zan. Now, let me explain. I'm very activated now, emotionally. It's because this is so bad.
Okay. Yeah?
So, Little Zan makes Little Pump look like Led Zeppelin.
Okay.
And pick any song. Go ahead. Pick one.
All right.
Pick any fucking song.
I'm just going to do this one right here. Betrayed.
He's famous, by the way. A millionaire.
Oh, that's loud. Sorry. Yeah. Hey. What the hell is he saying?
Nothing.
Right.
Wait till he gets into it.
I'm watching him heat up a pot noodle.
You see what he looks like?
Not yet. That hoodie's hiding. That hoodie is on for my prediction. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, here it comes.
Hey. Pop the trunk, open up. I sold my soul a good price out of sight. My whole got talent right. Whole squad ran through that shit. Yikes. Hey, I'm a businessman and then my bend it down. And I'm a bend it down, then I'm a lick her up. And then dig her down. She gon' turn around and I'm a kick her out. She gon' tie that shit. Hey, how you make it up? How you fake the love? Holy son, over the chuck.
Actually, Jason, here, you can stop it there.
Yeah.
I've never heard that song. That's by far his best song that I've ever fucking heard.
Okay.
All right, so we don't just spend, but maybe in our next music episode, it occurred to me, I was like, I want to focus on how bad music is now, and that's a very old man thing to say. I get it. I understand that. But now I'm going to give you something where it's undeniable. Lil Xan, actually, what you just gave me, that was fucking brilliant. That's the best thing I've ever heard him do, by far.
Wow.
By far.
Okay.
He also, if you're looking at him, by the way, our listener, Sheehan, go ahead and play a video with him on it. He looks like a special needs child. He can't pay attention. He doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't know how to speak. It's a problem. Like we're talking about a song with a guy that is falling over, yammering bullshit.
It is. It's
that. I'm not kidding. Am I kidding?
No, it's heroin overdose rap is what it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's something attractive about that to the kids these days.
I guess so.
Look how old am I if I'm saying that. The kids these days. Now listen. Now, This is undeniable. Okay. This is so fucking terrible, Jason. Are you ready for this?
I am.
His name is Lonze. And by the way, have you made the image for our episode?
Yeah.
Damn it. Because I wanted the image of our episode to be a still of this. Okay, if you look up Lonze, this is how you spell it. L-A-N-Z-E.
Yeah, I got one up here.
Now, you should see a still image of a psychopathic, malignant murderer.
Crazy.
You see that? With his eyes wide open.
Yeah, is that a microphone?
Looks
or
like
a gun?
He's about to kill you.
Yeah,
he's
about to kill you. There's one of these, because I'm looking at YouTube, one of these, he's got a gun, he's holding it.
Yeah, well, okay. Now, my fear was when I saw him, I was like, oh, wow, is this a guy either, you know, is he pretending to be a psychopath? Yeah, well, look, it goes deeper than that. I don't think he's a psychopath. Then listen to his music. This is special needs. This is not psychopathology. Anyway, let's hear a song called, are you ready?
Yeah.
Bring Me That Shit.
Oh, I saw that one. Okay.
The lyrical mastery. Here we go. It's so complex, Jason. Oh, just get ready. It's going to blow your fucking mind.
He's a good looking guy, though. I mean, okay, maybe not now. What is he
and
doing?
Nigga, run around with that good nigga talking all that shit. Get busted in his neck down. Run around with that shit. Chop it down. Drink it. Nigga, I give a baby. Shooting that drop in the door. Taking that bitch on the low. Rolling around with that for drugs.
Okay, do I need to go on? Because I'm genuinely, honestly trying to decide if this is a person who has, and I'm not trying to be a jerk here, does he have like cerebral palsy and he's rapping because good for him, but if he's making fun of people with cerebral palsy, then he's an asshole. I mean, do you know?
Right. No, you're right on. Here's the thing. I really looked into this artist.
Yeah.
I looked into this situation, and it keeps getting worse, okay?
Okay.
All right. How about this? If he has cerebral palsy, by the way, if you understand cerebral palsy, and I think that you do, perhaps it interferes with how you express yourself, but it doesn't – it's not an intellectual disability.
No, it's like, – we have
– in your mind, you're trying to express yourself – correctly.
Yeah.
It's not a cognitive disability. No. It's a functional disability.
You and
right?
I have a relative who has cerebral palsy.
Great.
He's funny. He's very intelligent and a really super good person. And also his physical form is not what one would say is, you know, you can tell when you meet him right away.
Well,
But his brain is 100%. Yeah, you're right. That's a very good point. Your point is valid.
Not only is his brain 100%, if he's super strong. Like, he's an amazing person, by the way.
He is, yeah.
Our cousin, by the way, he's one of the Just Be Cousins. I want to say that because he's fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Now, he has a condition. His brain is not affected by that.
No.
And I would say, if he were in hand-to-hand combat with me and you right now, he would destroy both of us.
He would grab us both by the necks, and he would bash our heads together, and then
only hope would be to run away from him.
No, our only hope would be that Lonze was between us, because then something good is coming from our net. Now, tell me about this Lonze guy. Did you say you looked him up?
Yeah, I did. And it's actually part of my thing was I wanted you to – because I was like, okay, I need to hear an interview with this guy. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, if I had – look, if this were our job, Jason, to do this – to this podcast, yeah. I would have done it. Jesus, I'm having a – I sound like Lonze right now.
You sound like me at the beginning of the show. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm just – oh, my God. I'm stuttering over my words because it's – I hate it. I looked into Lonzé, and I started to feel bad because I thought initially he was just like this maybe malignant sociopath that's waving a gun around and staring at you like he's going to kill you. That's not the case. Huh? It turns out that Lonzé is something different. I think that he had intellectual disabilities before he became an intense and almost irretrievable, like it's an incurable drug addict. Yeah. And he has brain damage from his drug addiction. Now, I'm going to prove that to you.
Okay.
Look up it's a podcast called 411.
Okay.
And we're going to listen to an interview with Lonzé. Now, I think that my vitriol, my anger is enough to where, like, I'm not making fun of this guy anymore. I am disappointed in the state of media that nobody is understanding how damaged this guy is.
Okay, so I'm looking for just any part of this interview, or...
Actually, yeah, just, you know what? Start it, like, 2 minutes in, because there's a lot of – it's a podcast, so they have a bunch of – she actually has a pretty popular hip-hop podcast, sure. 411.
Okay, so here
– there's a bunch of ads, but then I want – if you can find it, I want you to hear her start the interview.
Okay.
And then hear his first response. Okay. If we can find it.
I might be able to do that. Let's see here.
Job is road. You need some phone. Mm-hmm. You need some J's, some gear to look classy.
You got to turn it up.
KJ, Stop and Shop. Let them know Nella D sent you. And do not forget, each and every Friday, the new hot spot is Privilege. Faded Fridays, hosted by me, Nella D. DJ Smooth 101, the tools, each and every Friday.
She's still doing ads. She's actually elite. Good.
Now, today on 411,
she's got nice microphones,
I got a
very
special guest. Somebody that's went viral. I'm talking about internet sensation. Straight from Cincinnati, though. Straight from the 513. But he got everybody wondering, like, who is this young guy? Like, he's everywhere from World Star to YouTube to all these type of pages. We got Lonzé in the building. What's going on?
It was good with it. You know what I'm saying? Motherfucker, get this shit right now. See, we on this motherfucker. Say, hey, what's good? We on the fucking station online. So, fuck, get that shit right now.
Hey, so how you been, man? Jeez. What's going on? How do it feel to go viral?
Wow. Yeah.
Jason, can we hear that one more time?
Yeah, let me see if I can just cue it up to the, here we go.
I'm not trying to fucking exploit this person, but...
To YouTube, to all these type of pages. We got Lonzé in the building. What's going on?
It was good with it, you know what I'm saying? Hey, motherfucker, get this shit right now. I said, we on this motherfucking shit. Hey, what's good? That was there. We on the fucking station online. I said, fuck, get that shit right now.
Hey.
Okay. Jason, thoughts?
Yeah, so, I'm like you, Joe. I really want to watch the rest of this because I want to find out if he has a genuine I don't want to say disability because that's too othering. I want to find out if he's got something that he is overcoming to do this stuff. Now, in this podcast, I'm watching the video. He's smoking something. I it could be a cigarette, but it's obviously homemade. And
I'm going to make a guess, and that it's marijuana with something else in it.
Yeah.
Now, when you continue to listen to his interview, he starts mumbling about Xanax and Percocet without realizing what situation he's in.
Yeah.
He's not oriented. He doesn't know where he is or what he's doing. And to me, this is what I'm saying. He is a popular musician. Now, yeah. He's not as popular as, you know, a fucking genius like Lil Pump.
Okay.
But people listen to him. Now, my question is, are they listening to him? And this is where my own guilt starts to cave in, because I did want to talk about him today.
Yeah.
And I talked to my wife and I was like, yes, I did laugh. And then I felt really bad.
Yeah, me
too. Was like, you know what I mean? Like, is this – what are we – doing? Like, this guy's rap is not something this is really tough. This guy has serious issues. I don't want to make fun of them, but this is fucked up, man.
Well, like, I think so. I think an instrumental part of being allowed to make fun of somebody is if you're trying to bring them down, right? If they are manifesting some amount of hubris, right? So if you get like a little kid who picks up a violin and he's trying to learn, and this is like his third week, he sucks. But making fun of him is pointless because
it seems wrong, right?
Because he doesn't think he's the best thing since sliced bread, right? Whereas if you're, you know, making fun of Milli Vanilli, for example, I mean, they were
comporting themselves. Oh, yeah, we got carte blanche on that shit.
Yeah, they thought they were...
By the way, one of them ended up killing themselves.
Which is really sad, so now I feel bad about bringing them up at all. But so what I would want to find out with this Lonzo guy is like, okay, even if it's the case that through his own actions he took too many drugs and that messed his brain up, if his brain is messed up, I don't care whether it's his fault or not, I don't want to make fun of him. But if he's like, hey, I am the best thing that's ever happened to hip hop because I've invented this new sound where I go, then I'm going to be like, no, I'm going to make fun of you because it's not a new sound. It's right. The sound that people make when they're trying to give birth and have been through a lot of really bad Lamaze sessions. Yeah.
And see, it came down to Lonzo for me because I don't think he's even aware of what's happening. And there's a few theories that I and my wife have about what's going on with him, and it really comes down to either brain damage or developmental delay for organic reasons. Look, I'm a Taco Bell manager, okay?
Yeah.
The thing is, and a lot of it probably has to do with a severe drug addiction. If you soak your brain in enough shit, you're not going to be able to talk or understand who or what you are anymore. That's just the way it is. And this is where this guy is at. However, because of the trend and the genre of what I'm going to call again mumble rap.
You're not the only one calling it that. It's all over my page here. Yeah,
I just chose one because some people call it sound clap
like
SoundCloud rap, and then some people call it trap rap. But it's really kind of the trend, and what it sounds like is incomprehensible bullshit.
They call it sound clap because that's sound gonorrhea. Is that what the clap part?
No, I just mixed SoundCloud and trap together, okay. And I said sound clap, and I think that's what we should call it from now on.
Sound clap sound trap. Clap. We're gonna call this episode sound clap trap. That's what I'm gonna call this one.
Very good.
Sound.
Okay, so we went there. Thank you. My wife was. She was concerned because she's like, if you're just going to make fun of this guy, like, that's going to be ugly, man. Because this is a problem. However, I challenge you to listen to that interview and not laugh.
Okay, I'm gonna do it. I do want to say one thing in his defense. Maybe some I'm reading the comments, which is always a good time on YouTube. And one person wrote, "When I heard him use the word hesitant, knew his ass was an actor." That's what they said. Now, hesitant is not a, you know, it's not a SAT word.
By the way, if you read the comments, and I did read some of those, this is what I think finally deeply disturbed me, is that a lot of the people that comment and that are listening to this, they're relating to him.
Yeah, yeah.
They're relating to him.
Well,
they're not making fun of him. It would be an asshole thing to make fun of that. It would be a disturbing, very concerning thing to relate to where he's coming from.
Well, okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely. But let's say this. If he is wealthy, and I don't know if that he is, but if he's a viral sensation and he's getting lots of money from...
Well, at least for one of his songs, yes, he is.
Okay. Then mission accomplished, right?
What mission, Jason?
The mission of being a human being who gets things that he wants. And I'm not trying to tell you that I would embarrass myself just to get $1 million, but I'd be willing to do some things.
He's not capable of being embarrassed.
Well, I'm saying that if somebody said, hey, what you're doing is stupid, if I don't think it's stupid, I would do it for $1 million, right?
And well, about this?
If he thinks what he's doing is good and he's getting paid, then there's nothing wrong with that. And furthermore, when it comes down to you know, quote unquote art, if there are people who genuinely listen to this and are genuinely moved by it,
then it's great.
It doesn't matter what his motivation are. It doesn't matter where he's authentic or not. If there are people who go, I am a better person now because I've experienced this, then it's fine. However, we're not talking about the art, are we? We're talking about the human being, which is a dangerous thing to do when you talk about art. And I am going to probably spend the next 3 hours Googling this guy to find out if he is.
Yeah, we'll talk about him again.
Yeah.
And let me tell you my problem.
Yes.
Because I think you've been very generous, and I like that about you. And I spent some time there too. But I've spent a little bit more time on Mumble Rap than you have. And once you go down the fucking mumble hole, then you will start to get disturbed too. Here's the thing. I don't think that it's a good sign that he's disoriented. Like, it's not good that he doesn't know what's happening.
Yeah.
Now, you could make the argument that anybody with $1 million, that's going to be great. Like, give him $1 million. It'll solve some problems. That's great. And I don't know if he made $1 million, but he certainly made a lot of money. Well, if you are popping Xanax and Percocet without regard for your own health, and nobody else is looking after your health, and you get $1 million, that is your death coming at you.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. Am I exaggerating?
No.
By the way, I have predicted, and I don't want it to be this way. I'm not making fun of fucking Lonze anymore. I'm concerned about him. He's a fucking human being.
Yeah.
And I feel like he is going to be dead in the next year. Now, this is recorded on our podcast.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to fucking live for another year. Now that people are giving, just now he's just got money coming in, what do you think he's going to do? Focus on his sobriety?
Well, I tell you what, and I sincerely believe this, if something really bad happens to him and he survives and it is a wake-up call and he does decide to start focusing on his sobriety and he chooses to create art based on those experiences, he'll make another million.
Jason, I love you. And I went way, way dark going down this fucking path, dude.
Yeah.
It was really hard. And I did laugh at first, and then I realized that I shouldn't be laughing anymore, and now I've brought it to the podcast. Now, let's, again, oh, shit, where are we at? Because I do have an argument for cancellation.
I was going to suggest that we hold off all that stuff for next time, because we're at, where are we? We're at, 117.
Jason, I can't. I can't.
Is it the?
It's only a few minutes.
Okay, all right.
Just let me do it.
Well, that's how we're going to close then. We're going to close with that. I'll save. Darko sent me an ad. I will save it for.
You have a Larko ad?
Yeah. That's okay. It's all good. I'll save it for next time. Okay. They might even double me up. That's fine. No worries. Because the image for the show is based off the Larko ad. If I leave it till next time, then I can for this time create an image
of Lonze,
if you like. Yeah.
Sure. Okay, I guess that works out. Look, this isn't going to take a whole lot of time.
No, it's fine.
Give me the arguments for cancellation intro. I'll explain it really briefly, and we'll just get through it.
Okay.
It'll end us off on a different note.
All right.
That is better.
Welcome, everybody, to a very musical edition of Arguments for Cancellation. I understand that very recently it was Billy Joel Day in New York. I don't know if it's Billy Joel Day in any other state or in any other city. Were you aware of that, Jason?
I was not.
Billy Joel Day.
Wait, is that the Billy Joel or the Green Day Billy Joel?
No, that Billy Joe is Green Day.
Okay, sorry.
Billy Joel is Billy Joel.
Okay, gotcha.
And New York had a Billy Joel Day. That's a total coincidence. I just so happened to – this is why I want our podcast to end. It's not that I bring up people that have special needs and halfway make fun of them. Billy Joel is totally capable. And I wanted to do a Weird Al song. You know how it goes. I wanted to obscenitize a song.
Yeah.
And what I wanted to do was make fun of comedians. I thought it would be good. You know, hey, maybe even Billy Joel would appreciate it if I made fun of comedians. But it took a dark turn. It is terrible. I ended up being very disrespectful to Billy Joel on Billy Joel Day, which is terrible. Anyway, it's one of many reasons why we should just stop this podcast. But go ahead and hit it. And
okay, here we go.
You used to work at the Comedy Store, but nobody thought you were funny. Then somebody offered you some cash if you would give them a quick rub and tuggy. And now I stuff my penis in your butt crack, ack, 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 ack. You are a whore right now. I paid you $30.50, 'cause when you fuck me, I owe you money. Comedy's a waste of time. You're better off going south with my cock in your hand and my balls in your mouth. My balls in your mouth. You'll make more money when you walk in the street than telling your jokes to dumb fuckers. So now pull down your khaki pants and just reach down to your feet and get ready to earn legal tender. Slather your slobber on my nutsack, ack, 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 ack. Drool on my chode right now. Stand up on stage or just lay down on a sheet. Sex is easier than humor. Comedy's a waste of time. You're better off going south. My cock in your hand and my balls in your mouth. My balls in your mouth. My balls in your mouth.
Oh man. So that's too good.
I think that's a good note to end off on.
Yeah, I'm first of all, let me just say this. I'm glad that you insisted that we do that, because I got a really good ab workout, and also no, you did not convince me. Joe, if our podcast was just you doing that, we would have way more.
I think you just didn't fucking convince me.
Yeah, sorry.
It's been your thing lately where you're like, no.
No, you're just too good. You're too good. I should turn this up for the Sometimes Dead is Better here.
Sometimes Dead is Better.
All right, there we go.
All right, so we went way over. Sorry.
Way, way over. That's okay. in your mouth. Just the way you were Billy Joel. Just all your enunciations, you're gifted. So I think we should – yeah, we're done. We went way over. Sorry, folks, if you stuck it out. Sorry, Sheen, if you stuck it out this long. We're not usually this verbose. We got passionate. And the truth of the matter is we talked about two things we love, which is really good music and really bad music. So
yeah, we love them both.
We do. So thanks. Next week, there might be two Larkos. There might not. Hey, you know what I'm going to do? No, I can't do it. Never mind. I was going to give you a little taste, but I can't because –
I'm sorry you didn't get to do the Larko.
It's okay. No, it's good. I can actually send it back to those guys. It needs to...
Hey, I've got an idea.
Yeah.
Two music episodes in a row.
Well, I think clearly we need to keep talking about this. I am going to listen to Mumble Rap for a week. Last week when you sent me a text message, Joe, you said let's talk about music. So I started listening to nothing but Breaking Benjamin for a whole week. And it's cool. It's cool. I kept Suicide Prevention Hotline on speed dial. But this week I'm going to listen to Mumble Rap. And we'll talk about it next week. Good night.
You know what, Jason? We've never done two themes in a row. Let's do it.
We have done two themelesses in a row, though. So,
yeah, yeah.
But that is different. Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Good evening!
JBZ and shit.